Falcha, welcome to Celtic Cafe Radio, broadcasting the best Celtic music from around the world. There's your host for the next hour, Mark Gallagher, inviting you to add a touch of the Celt to your day. Well, this hour on Celtic Cafe, we touch upon the reasons that people left Ireland for centuries, and we start out here with Phil Coulter, with Liam Neeson, and The Flight of the Earls.
The time is the early 1600s. The place, off the coast of Donegal. Under cover of darkness, a ship pulls out of Lough Swilly, setting sail on a long and a sad voyage. For she carries on board some of the cream of Ireland's nobility, led by Hugh O'Neill, Earl of Tyrone, the Great O'Neill. Forced into exile by advancing English armies, they will seek refuge in the court of Spain. For these are dark days for Ireland, and this is the flight of the Earls.
Now Sarsfield brave in Flanders sleeps, while Saxon faults no treaty keeps. But with penal laws they grind us down, now that our wild geese are flown.
The wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. In their hearts they know they never can. God bless these sons of Erin, wherever they might roam. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. The wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. They fought the fight for freedom at their homeland brother's side. With decorated valor they upheld the Irish pride. Banished to the mainland as a bloody spoil of war, they set out for foreign shores. And the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. In their hearts they know they never can. God bless these sons of Erin, wherever they might roam. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. The wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. They fought for Patrick Sarsfield at the Battle of the Boyne. The treaty penned at Limerick was the sign that they'd begun. He marched his loyal warriors down to Cork and to the sea. They set out for Normandy. And the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. In their hearts they know they never can. God bless these sons of Erin, wherever they might roam. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. The wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. They've worn so many colors, sometimes on separate sides. They served as Yanks and rebels in America's divide. The Spanish list of heroes has so many shades of green as the wild geese wove their dream. And the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. In their hearts they know they never can. God bless these sons of Erin, wherever they might roam. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. In their hearts they know they never can. God bless these sons of Erin, wherever they might roam. For the wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home. The wild geese of Ireland are longing to come home.
This is your host, Mark Gallagher, and this hour we're exploring why the people left Ireland. And we opened up there with The Flight of the Earls, Phil Coulter and Liam Neeson, and then we went to the Guinness Choir with the song The Flight of the Earls. Then Ron Cavanagh told us a little bit about the wild geese, and then Doolahan finished it off there after the Battle of the Boyne and the Treaty of Limerick in 1691. The last armies of Ireland left. Well, next up we have Fury Brothers with Davy Arthur, and sometimes you have to leave Ireland because you've done a deed that's going to get you killed. Here they are to tell you about the big ships.
Oh, the big ship, it's a sailing far across the ocean. Fare thee well, lovely Annie, I bid you adieu, and I can't return where small barns are nesting, or take you, dearest Annie, and make you my bride. You remember, dear Annie, when we walked on the mountain and we saw all those young men marching away to fight for their country, to free her from bondage. When I left you, dearest Annie, I went with them that day. We fought hard through that winter, and many died bravely, and we thought of our loved ones, our country, and free, and my heart, it nearly broke when I thought on the mountain, when I had you in my arms on that warm summer's day. But our names, they were given by a Judas informer. I remember his face, he fought right beside me, and I was given the assignment to kill him one evening and bury his body in the deep flowing sea. Now you know, Annie, why I must leave you, and why I can't take you and make you my bride. For I am in danger, and I feel every stranger in village and city who walks by my side. Oh, come with me, Annie, once more to the mountain, and walk with me slowly to the ship by the sea, and let me caress you and kiss you and bless you forever and always. You'll be dearest to me. Farewell to my homeland, my parents and comrades, the brave man who died and who fought beside me. To the mountain, the valleys, the green fields of Erin, may the young man of Ireland bring your liberty. Oh, the big ship, she's a sailing. Thank you.
That was from Riverdance, and it's called The American Wake. And when families were being separated while some were emigrating to America, they would have an American wake because they know they would never see them again. Next up, well, we move to the famine years. And of course, when the famine came around, the people died. And of course, there was much despair. And the only way to get away from that despair was to leave. Next up is a story called Skibbereen, as told by the Dubliners. And then that would also, the famine would also lead to evictions. And of course, when you couldn't pay the rack rent, you had to be evicted. And again, that was another reason to leave. So here's the Dubliners off with Skibbereen.
Oh, Father dear, and I often hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty scenes, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a lovely land wherein a prince might dwell. Then why did you abandon it? Oh, the reason to me tell. My son, I loved my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came over all my crops and my sheep and cattle died. The rents and taxes were to pay, and I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason I left old Skibbereen. 'Tis well I do remember the bleak November day, when the bailiff and the landlord came to drive us all away. They set the roof on fire with their cursed English spleen, and that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, your mother, to God rest her soul, lay on the snowy ground. She fainted in her anguishing, seeing the desolation round. She never rose, but passed away from life to immortal dreams. And that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, you were only 2 years old, and feeble was your frame. I could not leave you with my friends, for you bore your father's name. I wrapped you in my coat the more, at the dead of the night unseen. And I heaved a sigh, and I said goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. Oh, well, Father dear, and the day will come when on vengeance we will call, and Irishmen both stout and tall will rally unto the call. I'll be the man to lead the van beneath the flag of green, and loud and high we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen.
By the young men there, when mercy, no. He held us out in the blinding snow. Then no one opened for us their door. Far hill their vengeance would reach them sure. My Eileen fainted in my arms and died on that snowy night by Lochiel's side. Farewell, my love, a fond adieu. Farewell, my comrades and my country too. I buried her down in the churchyard low, where in the springtime the wildflowers grow. I shed no tears, for my tongue fell dry. Would soon her bide near my island's grave by Lochiel's side. Farewell, my love, a fond adieu. Farewell, my comrades and my country too. To fly o'er the ocean wide from the home I love by the Lochiel's side.
Tara there with the Lochiel's eviction, which took place in 1848 in Mount Nugent, County Cavan. That obviously is a reason that they left Ireland. Well, we've got more music coming right up here, all about the reason that mass exodus took place from Ireland over the centuries, right here on Celtic Cafe Radio.
On a single day, a list of exports from Cork Harbour on a single day, the 14th of September 1847, ran as follows. 147 barrels of pork, 986 casks of ham, 27 sacks of bacon, 528 boxes of eggs, 1,397 firkins of butter, 477 sacks of oats, 720 sacks of flour, 380 sacks of barley, 187 head of cattle, 296 head of sheep, and 4,338 barrels of miscellaneous provisions. On a single day, the ships sailed out from Cork Harbour with their bellies in the water. On a single day in Partee, County Galway, the great majority of the poor located there were in a state of starvation, many of them hourly expecting death to relieve their suffering. On a single day, the Lady Mayoress held a ball at the Mansion House in Dublin in the presence of the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland. The dancing continued until the early hours, and refreshments of the most varied and sumptuous nature were supplied with inexhaustible profusion on a single day.
Christy Moore there with On a Single Day. That's a true depiction of what happened during the famine. And of course, the British government thought that the famine was just natural course of history taking place. It did really nothing to save the people of Ireland, and Ireland lost probably half of its population due to death and immigration. And of course, if you did something about it, like steal a cow, steal some corn, take a coin, steal some bread, well, what was in the offing? Transportation. Here's one of the most famous transportation songs here by Paddy Riley, The Fields of Athenry.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they have taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. So long day round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. The last star falling, as the prison ship sailed out against the sky. For she lived in hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the field. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was all. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Singing to the light, you the light, yeah. Singing to the light, you the light, yeah. I'm bound for Botany Bay. I am a young man in great sorrow. In sorrow I'm sailing away. It's a cruel law that takes a man's freedom and sends him to Botany Bay. Singing to the light, you the light. Singing to the light, oh the light, singing to the light, oh the light. I'm bound for Botany Bay. My ship it lies anchored and ready, and the wind it blows bitter and cold, for the taking of one golden sovereign. In bondage I'm now to be sold. Singing to the light, oh the light, yeah. Singing to the light, oh the light, yeah. Singing to the light, oh the light, yeah. I'm bound for Botany Bay. Farewell to my home and my loved ones, my friends and my comrades, adieu. I've many a hardship before me until I can sail back to you. Singing to the light, oh the light, singing to the light, oh the light, singing to the light, oh the light, I'm bound for Botany. Singing to the light, oh the light, yeah. Singing to the light, oh the light, yeah. I'm bound for Botany Bay. I'm bound for Botany Bay. I'm bound for Botany Bay.
Johnny McAvoy there with Bound for Botany Bay. Two songs there about transportation to Australia, the penal colony of Australia. One for stealing corn for his family, the other for taking a sovereign. Well, next up, the sadness of the immigrants that moved on to another country is brought out in this next song called Paddy's Lamentation by Rooney.
Boys, sure that's to hold your noise and listen to poor Paddy's adoration. I was buying hunger pressed and in poverty distressed, so I took a thought I'd leave the Irish nation. Here's to you boys, now take my advice to America and bid you not become men. There's nothing here but war, where the murder and cannons roar, and I wish I was at home with the round Dublin. Well, I sold my horse and plow, my little pig and sow, my little plot of land I soon did part with. My sweetheart bit McGee, well I'm afraid I'll never see, for I left her there that morning broken hearted. Here's to you boys, now take my advice to America and bid you not become men. There's nothing here anything but war, where the murdering cannons are. And I wish I was at home with dear old Dublin. Sailed on our fortunes to be made. Well, we were thinking when we got to Yankee land, they shoved a gun into our hands. St. Paddy, you must go and fight for Lincoln. General Marr to us, he said, if you get shot and lose your head, every murdered soul's of you will get a pension. Well, myself, I lost a leg that gave me a wooden peg. And me God, this is the truth to you I'll mention. Here's to you boys, now take my advice. To America and bid you not be common. And there's nothing here but war where the murdering cannons roar. And I wish I was at home in dear old Dublin. Myself in luck if I get fed an Indian buck, for all Ireland is the country I delight in, and the devil I do say it's curse and murder, Kay, for I'm sick and tired of all of your hard fighting. Here's to you boys, now take my advice, to America I bid you not be coming. There is nothing here but war, where the murdering cannons roar. And I wish I was at home in dear old Dublin. And I wish I was at home in dear old Dublin. And I wish I was at home.
Kelly, Ireland, 1860, my dear and loving son John. Your good friend, the schoolmaster, Pat McNamara, so good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all gone to find work in England, the house is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected, a third to a half of them bad. And your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to get married in June. Your mother says not to work on the railroad and be sure to come on home soon. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1870, dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your four children, may they grow up healthy and strong. Michael has gotten a wee bit of trouble, I suppose that he never will learn. Because of the dampness there's no turf to speak of, and now there's nothing to burn. And Bridget is happy, you name the child for her, you know she's got six of her own. You say you found work, but you don't say what kind. When will you be coming home? Kilkelly, Ireland, 1880, dear Michael and John, my sons, I'm sorry to give you the very sad news that your dear old mother passed on. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Your brothers and Bridget were there. You don't have to worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good to hear that Michael's returning with money he's sure to buy land. For the crop has been poor and the people are selling at any price that they can. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1890, my dear and loving son John. I suppose that I must be close on to 80, it's 30 years since you've gone. Because of all of the money you've sent me, I'm still living out on my own. Michael has built himself a fine house, and Bridget's daughters are grown. And thank you for sending your family picture, the lovely young women and men. You say that you might even come for a visit. What joy to see you again. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1892, my dear brother John, I'm sorry that I didn't write sooner to tell you that father passed on. He was living with Bridget. She said he was cheerful and healthy right down to the end. You should have seen him playing with the grandchildren of Pat McNamara, your friend. And we buried him alongside of mother down at the Kilkelly churchyard. He was a strong and a feisty old man, considering his life was so hard. And it's funny the way he kept talking about you. He called for you at the end. Why don't you think about coming to visit? We'd love to see you again.
The sadness of those left behind is in those letters that were actually written by a father in Ireland to his son in America. That's Kilkelly, Ireland there by Danny Doyle. But when they came here, they were discriminated against. They Need Not Apply. And that's the name of the next song, No Irish Need Apply Here by Ron Kalana.
I am a decent Irishman just here from Ballyfad. I need a work position and I want to talk to bad. A job that I saw advertised would suit me grand, said I. But the scut who placed it ended with no Irish need apply. Well, I took that as an insult, and to know the reason why, I went to find the man who wrote no Irish need apply. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. So I set out to confront the rogue and found him good and soon. Sat in a seedy office lot surrounded by buffoons. When I told him what I came for, he in a rage replied, I can tell that you're a petty and no Irish need apply. Then I felt me dander rising and I thought I'd black his eye for discriminating with the words no Irish need apply. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. Well, I couldn't bear his bigotry, so a hout of him I took. and gave him such a hiding as he'd get in Donnybrook. He shouted me a murder, and to escape did try, and he swore he'd never write again, no Irish need apply. When he made sincere apology, I bid him sharp goodbye, saying, and if you want another hiding, write, no Irish need apply. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. You see, I'd heard that in America their democratic plan said an Irishman is just as good as any other man. A home and opportunity they never would deny to the stranger, and they'd never write, no Irish need apply. But this black sheep had spoiled the flock, a dirty stuff, said I, for a decent man would never write, no Irish need apply. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. The Irish loyal to your states in battle made their point. You'll have heard of Maher's regiment and Corcoran's 69th. Though fools may rant and bigots rage, fanatics they may cry, but when they want good fighting men, the Irish may apply. And when for freedom and for right they raise the green flag high, those rebel ranks will surely think no Irish need apply. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. And in years to come the White House will raise the green flag high to let the people clearly see the Irish are inside. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman.
We opened up the show there with Flight of the Earls back in 1607. Well, we're going to end it here with the modern version of that. And in the 80s, there was another flight of young people all over the world leaving Ireland because they didn't have any prospects there. Here's Patchy Watchong with the Flight of the Earls.
I can hear the bells of Dublin in this lonely waiting room, and the paper boys are singing in the rain. Not too long before they take us to the airport and the noise, to get on board a transatlantic plane. We've got nothing left to stay for, we have no more left to say, and there isn't any work for us to do. So farewell, you boys and girls, another bloody flight of ours. Our best asset is our best export too. It's not murder, fear or famine that makes us leave this time. We're not going to join MacAlpine's fusiliers. We've got brains and we've got vision, we've got education too, but we just can't throw away these precious years. So we walk the streets of London and the streets of Baltimore, and we meet at night in several Boston bars. We're the leaders of the future, but we're far away from home, and we dream of you beneath the Irish stars. Thank you.
Island, and the lady in the bay, and Manhattan turns to face another Sunday. We just wonder what you're doing to bring us all back home, as we look forward to another Monday. Because it's not the work that scares us, we don't mind an honest job, and we know things will get better once again. So a thousand times it's you, we've got Bono and you too. All we're missing is the Guinness and the rain. So switch off your new computers, 'cause the writing's on the wall. We're leaving as our fathers did before. Take a look at Dublin Airport, or the boat that leaves North Wall. There'll be no youth unemployment anymore, because we're over here in Queensland and in parts of New South Wales. We're on the seas and airways and the trains. What if we see better days? Those big airplanes go both ways, and we'll all be coming back to you again.
And that's it for this session of Celtic Cafe. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did bringing it to you. And if you did, tell your friends. Tell all your friends to tune in to Celtic Cafe Radio. If you missed any portion of the show or want to listen to previous shows, just go to CelticCafeRadio.com on any device and select the MP3 link to stream online. You can view playlists from this show or any show on the streaming page. If you have questions about Celtic music or feedback on our show, just email me at music@CelticCafeRadio.com. That's music@CelticCafeRadio.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, Shlán Lot.